Hey guys, welcome to episode number 40 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. I have had a little bit of time away from podcasting. This is my first podcast for a couple of weeks. The reason being is that my wife and I were in Bali. We had a 2-week vacation, holiday, whatever you want to call it, over in Bali in Indonesia. Amazing, amazing time. And that might even be one of the reasons why you clicked on this podcast, because I'm going to talk to you in this episode about our experience in Bali, what it taught me, what it showed me, give you some travel tips and advice in terms of health and well-being as well, and just what, in general, this holiday showed me and highlighted to me, so that you can go away, have a holiday, have a break, which is really, really important, by the way, and we're going to touch on that in this podcast, but so that you can go away, have a great time on your holiday, but also use it to improve your wellness and improve your overall life, because holidays, travel, vacations can be part of that, can help you to be healthier, to live a better life, to be more joyful, to be more well, all of those kind of things that we help you with on this podcast. Before we get stuck into today's episode, if you are new to this podcast is all about helping you to live a longer, healthier, happier, and more joyful life. I do that through either bringing on a guest to discuss a different topic centered around health and well-being, or I speak to you guys and give you my expertise and my wisdom. I've been in the fitness industry and the health and well-being industry for over 10 years now. Actually, it's getting more on to 11 years. So yeah, I've been in the industry a long time. I know what I'm talking about. I've got much experience and many years behind me, and I've learned what works well and what doesn't. And I'd like to instill and share that knowledge with you guys listening in as well. So if you want to improve your wellness, you want to live a longer, healthier, happier, and more joyful life, you've come to the right place. Please, if you haven't already, do like, follow, subscribe, hit that button on whatever platform you're listening to this on, whether that be Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever the case may be. It only takes one little click to subscribe and you'll be updated with all of my episodes. Also, if you can leave me a review, please do leave me a review. I know I ask this each week, but reviews do really help. They help me, but they also help other podcasters as well. If we can get good quality reviews, if you can leave me a review, I can grow and ultimately help more people. We can help more people together. The third and final thing I'd like you to do, if you can, is just to share this. Just tell your friends. If you just tell one person about this podcast, that's another person that we can help to live a better life. You can do that by just simply telling them, go and check out Ali's podcast, The Kinetic Fitness Show, or you can share it on social media. If you share it on Facebook or Instagram and you tag me in, the handle is Ali West Fitness. If you tag me in on Instagram, on your story or on your feed, I will share that with my followers as well. And we can all grow and help people together. That's enough about that. Let's get stuck into today's episode. And I want to just really fill you in with my travels, let you guys into my life a little bit, but also show you how travel and going on holiday and taking R&R and relaxing can help you with your health and well-being. So let's get stuck into that. Firstly, I thought a great place to start with this podcast episode would be with some health and travel tips. I'm always looking for the best way that I can keep healthy and keep well when I'm on the move, when I'm not in my normal environment, when I'm not doing my normal habits and I'm away from home. Last year, I traveled 5 times in 2018. I went away 5 times, 4 times overseas. This year, this was my first trip abroad, and it was a long, long way that we traveled. All in all, the traveling was over 24 hours. We had a long flight out to China initially, so we flew from London to China, which was 11 and a half hours. Then we had a ridiculously long layover of 8.5 hours, and then another 5-hour flight onto Bali. So I'm not even going to do the maths on that, but yeah, over 24 hours of traveling to get out to Bali. We left on Thursday night and we got to Bali on Saturday morning. So that puts it into perspective. Long, long travel. And a lot of people, you may be listening to this and you may travel all the time. Work, business may take you here, there and everywhere all over the world, and you're traveling regularly. So I want to give you guys some tips that you can put into practice that are going to keep you well, how we can possibly reduce or dodge jet lag altogether, and how we can go away and keep well. Because sometimes when people come away from their daily routine and they're not doing their regular patterns, they might even get ill or fall unwell or poorly on holiday. Most common ones people get when they go away is usually some kind of sinus or viral infection in terms of breathing and sore throats and colds and that kind of thing. The other common one is people have, as we all know, upset stomach. Some people call it the deli belly, where their stomach just goes all over the place. They might suffer vomiting and diarrhea. And there's ways that we can get around to this. So there's ways that we can dodge this, and we can go away, have an amazing holiday, have an amazing break, and not fall ill. Because who wants to be ill on holiday or fall poorly on holiday? That's one of the worst things. I know, because I've had it happen to me. I went to Florida once and I didn't get out of bed for 6 days. I was so poorly. I've also been to Egypt and I got a stomach bug when I was in Egypt as well. So that I've had it. I know what it's like. It's horrible. So we can get around that with different little life hacks or biohacks or just little simple tips, and that's what I'm going to help you with to start off with. Then I'm going to give you a little bit of info and some guidance on what I experienced whilst I was away in Indonesia, in Bali, and some of the takeaways I got from that trip. Firstly, I want to tell you a little story. People like stories. I love stories, and let's tell you a little story of how our holiday started. Our flight was due at 10:30 at night on a Thursday night. We wanted to give ourselves plenty of time to get there. We live in Nottingham, which is about 2 hours away from London Heathrow. No, probably a bit longer, probably more like 2.5 hours. So it was like, give ourselves plenty of time. We'll get there, chill out, find our bearings, check in. You know the drill when you're going away, if you've ever flown or if you fly regularly. We left Nottingham at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. That should have given us plenty of time to get there. Unfortunately, there was a huge crash on the M1, the main motorway that takes you from Nottingham down to London. There was a massive accident. Apparently, 3 cars, 2 lorries, huge pileup, and the whole motorway was blocked. So we hit this traffic jam, and at first we thought, it's not going to be too bad. We'll just chill in this for a little bit, and then we'll get moving. But eventually the time started to elapse, and before we knew it, hours have passed by and it's getting towards like now 6-7 in the evening. Bearing in mind our flight's at 10:30, you're told that you have to be 3 hours early for a long haul flight, 2 hours before for a shorter duration flight. So we was panicking. Eventually we got through this traffic jam. Well, we didn't get through it, we actually had to turn off. And then I was just hammering it, bombing it as fast as I could to get to the terminal on time. When we got to Terminal 4 at Heathrow, it was gone 9 o'clock, bearing in mind our flight was at 10:30 in the evening. We're panicking, thinking we're not going to make the flight, all a bit stressed. And we bowl out, get our cases, start running, ended up running in the wrong direction. A guy's like, where are you going? We was like, Terminal 4. He's like, you're running the wrong way, guys. We had to spin round, run the other way, and then, I don't know, you can call it a guardian angel, a taxi driver, lovely man, pulled up. Said, are you going to the terminal? Was like, yes. He's like, jump in, I'll take you. Got us to the terminal. I was like, how much do I owe you, mate? He was like, nothing, it's free, you go on your way. Bless him, bless that man. And we got through the terminal, got into the terminal at about 9:30, so an hour before our flight, basically. We're there thinking we're not going to make it. And we made it. The woman was like, you've got 10 minutes to spare. Just check in and we'll get you through. And we made it, we had time spare, got on the flight. Thank the Lord. So we'd already had a crazy journey. We'd already had like six and a half hours to get just to London. It actually took us longer to travel from Nottingham to London, which is just over 100 miles, than it did for us to fly from China to Bali. Crazy, right? So the lesson from that is always check the travel, always check the travel news before you set off and plan your journey appropriately. I should know that better than anyone because I'm always telling you guys and telling my followers on Instagram to plan everything, and I probably should have planned my car journey to Heathrow a little bit better. So there's a little kind of crazy funny story that started our journey off. So when I'm talking about long travel, we had a long experience just to get to Bali in the first place. But anyway, I digress. I just wanted to tell you that story because I thought it was pretty interesting and pretty funny. Funny at the time, funny now, but wasn't funny at the time. But anyway, we made it on the plane. And let's talk about some of the big problems we have when we travel. I like to start with problems and then we'll get to the solutions. You will probably know this if you've listened to any of my podcasts before. When we have a guest on, we tend to talk about the problems first and then move on to the solutions and some of the ways that we can get around these problems. Some of the problems that we have, well, the first one, especially if you're going any long distance where you're traveling through time zones, is that dreaded two words, jet lag. We have jet lag. I'm going to be honest, you can read and read stuff on the internet, you can watch YouTube videos, you can read books. I have a massive interest in sleep patterns, circadian rhythms, all that kind of stuff, how the body functions, how the body's internal clock works. I've had sleep expert Nick Littlehales on the show, so I highly recommend you going back and listening to that one. He's got a really great book entitled Sleep, where he talks about circadian rhythm, sleep patterns, also touches on jet lag as well. So I'm really interested in this area. So before I went away, I was like, right, how can I hack jet lag? I'm going to be honest with you right now. If you're going to get jet lag, you're going to get it. Sometimes it can't be dodged. It can't be ignored. It's just going to happen. The longer you travel, the longer the time, the worse it can get. So we traveled through 8 different time zones. And from everything that I've read and all the research that I've done, it basically says that it takes a day per time zone to adjust. So if you're traveling an 8-hour time difference like we did, that's 8 days for your body clock, for your circadian rhythms to adjust. Nobody wants really to have jet lag for 8 days. So there are things that you can do to get around that. As I said, the shorter distance you cover, so if you're only going through 1 or 2 time zones, you're going to have a lot less jet lag. It also depends on whether you're flying east to west or west to east, to how it affects your body as well. So yeah, I wanted to firstly make sure that I didn't have that problem of jet lag. The second one is that the problem that people have is, as I said, they tend to like pick up stuff off the plane. So they might get a little virus because the air is not clean in there. It's just recirculated air. And again, the sleep's out. It's very difficult, especially if you're in economy class, to sleep on a plane. It's uncomfortable. You don't get that regular sleep. And that can all have a detrimental effect on your body and affect your immune system. Another problem that people have when we're traveling and traveling long distances or we're on the move is eating well and hydrating. So these are two key things, not just when you travel, obviously in everyday life, we need to make sure that we're eating optimally healthy for our bodies and that we're keeping hydrated, because if we're not, we're gonna fall ill, we're not gonna live a well life, we're not gonna have energy, all those good things. So they're the main problems: jet lag, picking up something off the plane in terms of an illness or a bug, having that kind of lack of sleep and lack of recovery, and not eating well and staying hydrated when we're traveling or when we're on a plane. Let's talk about how we can get over them then. Let's talk about jet lag first. Jet lag, there's so many things that you can do to help with this. I've read and read and I've watched so many videos on YouTube, listened to podcasts all about jet lag and sleep, and there are hacks that you can do. Let me tell you a few ones that I found personally that work for me, because I know they work for me because I've tried them and they've helped. The first one, and I've done this traveling across numerous time zones from different countries. I've done it traveling to the States, I've done it traveling to Africa, and I've also done it now traveling to Asia. It is, as soon as you step foot on that plane and as soon as you're sat down in your seat, your allocated seat, set your watch to the time zone that you're traveling to. We were shifting 8 hours ahead. So where we was going, Indonesia and China, they're both on the same time zone, was 8 hours ahead of London, 8 hours ahead of the UK time. So as soon as I sat down, although it was 10:30 at night, I flicked it forward 8 hours. So to 6:30 the next morning. And again, you're thinking, wow, that's crazy. That's going to flip me out and send me all over the place. It will at first, but your body and your mind are going to start to adjust to this new time zone a lot quicker. Set it on your phone and on your watch and don't have that UK time anywhere visible. Don't get me wrong, you're not going to be able to dodge it, because now with modern planes, we have the TV screen in front of us. It tells us how far we've traveled. It tells us the local time zone, the time zone you're going to, the temperature outside, the wind speed, etc., etc. But as much as you can dodge your normal time and you can change it to the time you're traveling to, the better. It's going to have a massive effect on that jet lag process. So switch your watch as soon, and your phone as soon as you get on that plane, and just try and get yourself in the habit of thinking, okay, right, it's no longer 10:30 at night, it's now 6:30 or 3:30 or 2:30 or whatever the time zone may be or the time difference may be. Really, really critical that you do that. Everything that I've read, everything that I've watched, all the research I've done say that is one of the best things and most critical things that you can do to help with jet lag. The next thing that's going to help with jet lag is, once you've switched that watch, is getting into the patterns in relation to the time. What do I mean by that? I mean that most people will get up early in the morning, they'll go to bed at night, they'll sleep through the night, they'll get up early in the morning and they'll eat breakfast, they'll go about their daily routines, eat lunch at a certain time, eat dinner at a certain time, go to bed again at a certain time. That is your life patterns, and to some extent, that is your circadian rhythm. What you need to do, although your body clock won't be initially happy with this and will be a little bit out of kilter, is to start getting into those new patterns. So if it is 6:30 in your new time zone in the morning, or 7:00, that would be a good time really to like kind of get light into you. So make sure you get some natural light. You can do this two ways. If it's dark outside, you're going to have to try and get some blue light. So flash your phone in your face, flash your laptop screen in your face, get some blue light, because then your body will start to wake up. Your mind will start to wake up, because sunlight, preferably natural light or blue light, wakes the body up. Then you could also eat breakfast or eat some food. In an ideal world, we'd take our own food on the plane and we'd be prepared and prepped. Not everyone can do that. I'm going to be honest, I didn't do that. I didn't plan or prep my food to take on the plane with me. I've never done that when I travel, because I don't want to do that. I want to, when I go away and I'm going on holiday, if it's not for work, if I'm just traveling for the sake of going on holiday, I just want to chill out. I don't want to be planning my prepping my food. I do that all the time anyway. So I just want to switch off, chill out, and just go with the flow and enjoy my holiday, enjoy my vacation. So I'm not one of those people that takes like plastic or Tupperware or plastic bags or anything like that, or any kind of pre-prepared stuff on the plane with me. It's just not what I do. But you can take on stuff with you, and you could take a breakfast meal, or you could ask for a breakfast option. There are ways around this. So get yourself into the routines that you normally do. And eating is a massive part of your life. So if you're eating at times when you normally eat in relation to the new time zone, that's going to help your body to adjust better as well. The third thing you can do to get over jet lag is to sleep when you need it. So again, if the time zone back home is light, but the time zone of the new time that you're going to would be darkness, or would be when you would normally typically go to sleep, you've got to try and get some shut eye. You've got to try and go to sleep. How do we do this? We need darkness. We need complete blackness, as much darkness as we can get. A good way to do this is to get a blindfold or an eye shield so that we can black out any light. Or if you can't do that, put a pillow across your face or the blanket across your face, providing you're not claustrophobic and it's not going to freak you out. Anything that you can do that will reduce the amount of light coming in. Sometimes the planes that you're on will do this naturally. They'll dim the lights, lighten the lights at particular times. But it's not always within sync with what you need. So a good way to do that is a blindfold, eye shade, blanket over your head so that you can get some shut eye. If you can. I appreciate it's difficult and uncomfortable sometimes to sleep on a plane. Do the best you can. The final one that I'm going to give you to help you with jet lag is to try and minimize or cut out the caffeine and the booze. Easier said than done, because you're usually a bit jolly and a bit happy when you're going away. So you want a bit of wine or beer or spirit or a nice cup of coffee when you're on the plane. But caffeine and alcohol, they're pretty much the enemy of jet lag. They don't help with it. So if you can avoid it, try and avoid it or reduce it. And what goes in turn with reducing caffeine and reducing alcohol is drinking more water. The more hydrated you are, the better your body's going to function, the better it's going to be able to deal and adapt to jet lag. Hydration is key. I've spoken about this many, many times. If you followed me regularly or for a long time, you'll know that I'm massive on hydration and keeping that water intake up as high as possible. So make sure that when you're on the plane, you can take a water bottle on with you and fill that up. The staff on the plane will fill it up, or you can ask the plane staff for bottled water. Make sure that you're drinking, keeping hydrated, especially if you're on a long haul flight. I traveled nearly 12 hours to get to China. That's a long, long way without taking on any water. It'd be ridiculous to do that. You wouldn't do that if you was at home. So make sure that you stay hydrated. But some people, they get on a plane, they're a bit like, oh, I'm not a great flyer, or they might get uncomfortable. And they kind of forget to do these simple things of getting sleep in when needed, adjusting to the new time zone, keeping hydrated. And these are all critical things that are going to help you not only get over a jet lag, but also enjoy your holiday more when you get there, because you don't want to be jet lagged and feeling lethargic and falling asleep in the middle of the day or waking up in the middle of the night. You want to adjust as quickly as you can. I got jet lag. I'm going to be honest, we got it when we got there. But after a few days, we integrated and adapted. It definitely didn't take us eight days, as most experts would tell you that it takes to adjust. We did it probably in like 3 or 4 days. We started to feel kind of normal and get into normal routines. So you are going to get it. If you dodge it, you've pulled a worldie. It doesn't always happen like that. You are going to get it, but there are tips and there's a few hacks you can do to keep well while you're on the move and to reduce jet lag. Let's move on then to these ones about getting bugs and picking stuff up off the plane. So bugs, illnesses, viruses, etc. I've experienced this when I went to Florida once when I was about 13 years old. I 100% picked up a virus off of the plane. The air is, let's be honest, shitty on a plane. It's recirculated, it's not great air. And you can pick up viruses. I've known many people to pick up viruses off of planes. How can we get around this? One way is our breathing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to episode 39, my last podcast, where I spoke to Lee Ewan, expert on breathing and the breathing mechanics. Start to breathe properly. When we breathe through our nose and out through our nose, we filter the air better. The air is better circulated around our body. We're getting more oxygen, good quality oxygen, and we're expelling more CO2. So breathing through your nose is important. I know a lot of people are mouth breathers and they get on planes and they close their eyes and they're like breathing through their mouth like that. You might even come across people on planes snoring when they're asleep and breathing through their mouth. Breathing through your nose is going to help to clear out the air, to filter that air better, and reduce your chances of getting ill or picking up something off of the plane. So breathe through your nose. Just be mindful and aware of your breathing when you're on a plane. In through the nose, out through the nose, like that. That's all I'm going to say about that. That's one of the best ways, other than hydrating and eating well, that you're going to dodge getting bugs off of the plane. The sleep one we kind of touched on. If you need to have darkness, black it out, go to sleep, try and get as much sleep as you can, and then be awake when it's light at your new destination. I think that's it for the tips on flying and traveling. And one of the key things I know and I've noticed is traveling, flying, airports can be mega, mega stressful. You can get stressed over the littlest thing. So not taking your phone out of your pocket when it's meant to go through the security scanner, or maybe one of the airport staff or the airline staff is rude to you, and or maybe your partner drops your suitcase on your toe and you just get stressed over the smallest little things. Travel, flying especially, can be stressful. Best thing to do, be patient, try not to get stressed. Again, breathe, be present, be aware, and don't get stressed out. Usually traveling is not too bad. It's stress-free. I appreciate sometimes you get delays, sometimes your bags go missing, it happens, but it's just part of the journey. Try and embrace it, try and enjoy it, and not get stressed. Easier said than done, I know, but try and keep it easy. Keep it breezy when you're traveling. That's enough on that. Let's move on to Bali then, and the travels, and some of the key things that I picked up. The first thing that I want to point out is that travel, for me, and for many, many people, travel broadens the mind. It's an age-old saying, but it does. When we start to travel and see different areas of the world, people say the world's a small place. It isn't. The world is huge. There's so many different places, so many different countries, so many cultures that you can visit. The world is a huge place. And when we start to embrace these different cultures, see more of the world, I truly believe that we become better people. We start to learn from different people. We start to see how different cultures do things differently, how they interact, how they eat, how they live out their daily lives. And for me, that helps you to become a better person. I truly believe if you travel regularly, you take breaks, you go and see the world, you will live a longer, happier, healthier, and more joyful life, which is the purpose, as you guys know, of this podcast. So yeah, travel broadens the mind. What is a huge problem that we are suffering with, particularly in the Western society at the moment? It's mental health. We're having more and more cases, more and more people having issues with mental health, PTSD, anxiety, depression, all of these things. And I think just traveling, seeing some of the world can help with these issues that we're having, can help with mental health. I'm not going to say it's the cure. I'm not going to say that people with depression or anxiety are going to go to a different place and they're ultimately, instantly going to feel better. I'm not saying that at all, but I do believe that it will help with that mental state when you start to travel and see more of the world. So yeah, the first thing I wanted to point out was travel broadens the mind. I truly do believe that. The second thing that Bali and traveling to Indonesia highlighted to me was gratitude. Being grateful for what we have and what we've got. And if you guys have listened to any of my other podcasts, you would have heard gratitude come up numerous times, maybe 3, 4, 5 times, if not more. I've actually got one episode where I just talk about gratitude and how it's changed my life. Gratitude is massive. If you forget everything else on this podcast, just practice gratitude daily. Say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things that you are grateful for that day. And it doesn't have to be big. It can just be, I'm grateful for having clean water, or I'm grateful for the clothes on my back, or I'm grateful for my wife or my husband. There's so many things that you can be grateful for. And traveling to Bali and traveling to Indonesia, and in particular the smaller island that I went to, which was the Gili Air. Gili Air is close to Lombok. It's the second smallest Gili island. You may have been there, but check it out. Gili Air, G-I-L-I, and then Air. We went there, and that really highlighted to me that gratitude is massive and it's important, and I'm glad that I practice it daily, and I'm glad that it's part of my life. You should be grateful no matter how bad things are going, how bad your life may be or it may seem. It's not that bad. It's not as bad as you think. It's not as bad as other people. Let me give you an example that really hammered this home to me. When we was in Gili Air, we stayed there for 3 nights. We stayed in like a nice little bungalow, very close to the beach. And we had just basic accommodation, a nice comfy bed. There was a fridge in there. And then a nice outdoor bathroom with shower, toilet, sink. Nothing crazy, just nice basic accommodation. Comfortable. For me, it was perfect. And there was a maid working on the site, on the campus, I guess you can call it, whatever you want to call it, on the site of the where these bungalows were. Only like 4 or 5 bungalows, very small. We did it through Airbnb. And her name was Titi. And she was super, super helpful, super happy, smiling all the time, talking to you, wanting to know about you, asking about you, which we're going to touch on this in a little bit as well. But she was super helpful. And I got chatting to her one morning. She'd bring our breakfast every morning, coffee, fruit salad, and an omelette, like every morning, like amazing. Just cook that up for us and bring it to our room. One morning I got chatting to her and I asked her about the earthquake, because not even that long ago, 6 months ago, it was August 2018. So last year, as I record this podcast, last year, you may have heard of it, you may have seen it on the news, there was a huge earthquake in Lombok, something like 7 on the Richter scale, absolutely massive. I think close to 300 people died, buildings, everything was decimated. And I asked her about it, I was like, what was the earthquake like here on Gilead? And she was like, well, Gilead didn't really get much, even though it's very close to Lombok, but Lombok was obviously decimated or had a lot of damage. And I was like, oh, okay, so you didn't really experience anything. She was like, no, I'm from Lombok. I'm just currently here working, but I'm from Lombok and my house was destroyed. And I was like just taken aback. I was like, is everything okay? Did you get your house back or whatever? Like, obviously to a Westerner, if my house was destroyed by a earthquake, that's pretty much like game over. That's like a big thing. It's like that'd affect somebody from the West massively, probably have a mental breakdown. But she was like so happy and like just grateful that she was alive, and she was smiling and laughing. She was like, no, my house was completely destroyed, here's a picture, showed me it was just rubble. And she was like, I was like, did you know anyone that died? And she was like, yeah, I had friends and people that passed away, unfortunately. And I was like, I'm so sorry, that's awful. And she was like, no, don't worry, it's just, it happens. Like, I was like, no, it doesn't, like, earthquakes don't just happen. And she's like, yeah, they do, like, it happens, and it's just what happened, and it's okay, don't worry. And she was like, not dismissive of it, but I think she was just happy that she was alive, and she was happy that she had a job, and she was grateful that she could move on with her life and do something that she enjoyed, and that she enjoyed helping people, and she enjoyed being in that service industry. She told me that she was going on to work at another bar as well that her family was part of. So yeah, it was just, for me, it was quite touching and emotional, but it also just made me think, look, back to that word, gratitude, being grateful. This lady has potentially had her whole life destroyed. She's had people die close to her. She's had a house collapse from an earthquake. She's come out the other side, she's alive, she's happy, she's smiling, she's friendly, she wants to know me, she wants to learn about me, and I want to learn about her. And it's just huge, it's just so powerful to be grateful. I could tell from her demeanor, from what she said, from her body language, that she was grateful for each and every breath that she was taking on this earth. And that's just so powerful. That's what I want to point out to you. That's how powerful gratitude is. You can have your whole life taken away. You can have your whole life decimated. But if you just practice gratitude, just one thing or two things that you're grateful each day, things will move forward in the right direction. And you'll also realize that maybe that thing that I thought was the end of the world or was going to affect my life forever actually maybe isn't that bad. Gratitude is one thing that Bali highlighted to me and showed me again. Let's move on. Here's another thing that's come up on previous podcasts and that I want to point out, which is awareness. I've had double figures now guests on this program, on this podcast, mention awareness, and I've spoke about it myself, how being aware of what's going on, being aware of your surroundings, being aware of your thoughts, being aware of your mindset, being aware of the words that you're saying to yourself, how important and how powerful that is as well. And Bali showed this to me again. It threw it in my face and highlighted it. We've got to be aware. And here's the example that I want to use and a story. It is in relation to social media, to mobile phones, to connectedness. First things first, being connected in this connected world that we live in, for me, is good and bad. I truly believe it's more of a good thing than a bad thing. But we've got to be aware of how we're using this connectedness and how it's affecting our lives. the amount of times, don't get me wrong, Bali is an Instagrammable country. There is so many things that you can take pictures of that just look amazing. You don't have to be a photographer. You can just hold your phone up, point and click, and you'll probably get like a photo that could go on National Geographic. That's how beautiful it is of a place and how Instagrammable it is. See, this is a word that's just come out, Instagrammable. Anyway, but the amount of times I saw people before they'd even kind of like sat down or chilled out or like taken in an environment or taken in a scenery or taken in nature, they had their phone or their camera out snapping or taking Instagram stories or taking Snapchat stories or just trying to get that perfect shot, spending half an hour. I saw one couple probably spending 45 minutes to an hour trying to get one shot on a beach. And it's just like, for me, those people, let me be careful with what I say here, they may have been aware of what they were doing, but I think that they're so engrossed in that connectedness, in that social media, in that Instagram life, that they probably weren't aware of what they were doing. They were taking the picture, thinking, yeah, let's do this for the Instagram or do it for the Facebook or whatever the platform may be, get those likes up, get the interaction. And don't get me wrong, I know it's people's jobs. I know there's influencers out there and bloggers and vloggers and whatever, that it is part of their life. They need to get this content and they need to do it. But come on, man, live in the moment. Take it in. Take in what you're doing. Just enjoy something with your own two eyes for a moment. You don't have to do everything on your phone. You don't have to have your phone glued to your hand to enjoy life and to appreciate the great things in life. And this is one thing that this Bali trip really highlighted to me. And you guys that follow me, you'll know I'm big on Instagram. I'm trying to grow it. I'm trying to grow the podcast. I'm trying to touch as many people around the world as I can. And Instagram and social media is a great tool for that. And I post regularly and consistently. But whilst I was away, I was like, look, I'm going to detox. I'm going to just switch off from it. I'm going to enjoy this beautiful place, this beautiful continent that I've never even been to before, and see it for what it is. Speak to people, meet the locals, try the local food, embrace it, and not be stuck to my phone all the time and not take a picture of like every single thing that I see or do. I think this can be a big problem, and this is where a lot of mental health issues come in as well, is that we're kind of stuck in that cycle of having to take a photo of everything, post it, get those likes, get those followers up. And to me, it's just a bit soul destroying. So yeah, be aware of what you're doing. There's no problem with taking photos. I've got nothing against that. I mean, I took plenty whilst I was there. But just enjoy the moment for a second. Just for more than a second. Just enjoy that moment. Enjoy that scenery. Be part of it. Embrace it. Live in the now. Live in the moment rather than being on that phone and living it through a lens. There's more to life than that for me. So being aware of what you're doing, being aware of the importance of the current moment, of the now. And I did that a lot. There was one example that I just want to point out. We went to a really cool beach bar. It's actually up on a cliff. It's not on a beach, but you can see the waves breaking. It's high up on the cliffs. Cool pool, like comfy beds and sofas. We actually went in the VIP area. We decided that we was going to spend a bit of cash and do it right and do it nice. But that place, Just Google it or Instagram it, 180, one and then 80, it's just a really Instagrammable place. Like, it's cool. Like, probably a lot of influencers go there and whatnot. But yeah, you could get some really great photos there. But there's people that walked in with us, like paid at the same time, came in with us, got showed to their seat, and before they even sat down and ordered a drink or got chilled or put on their suntan cream or whatever, they're like snapping pictures and like holding the phone up, selfie, getting the selfie stick out, getting the GoPro out, diving under the water. Oh my God, it's, for me, it's just too much. I've just got to say that. I don't want to like jump on a soapbox or a high horse, but just live a little, like live in the moment and just put your phone down. We didn't take any photos for probably like an hour and a half, and we actually shot ourselves in the foot a little bit because when we got there it was really sunny and then it went cloudy, so maybe they did have the right idea and I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm just saying, there's more to life than just snapping all the time. Just live in the moment. That was a big takeaway from Bali, and I'm not going to go on anymore because I'll start ranting. The next thing I want to touch on is the way that the Balinese and Indonesian people live their lives and just their general demeanor and outlook, and what I picked up from just a very short time there. I was only there 2 weeks, so not spent a month there, 6 months there, a year, so it may be different if I spent that length of time there, but I just want to touch on some of the things that I saw. Firstly, I didn't see much negativity. Even just the like locals going about the business, whether that be rice in the rice paddies or the farmers or just people working in shops, taxi drivers, everyone was really happy and really kind of outgoing and talkative and wanted to get to know you. And you might think, oh, well, they're in a service industry. That's their job. They've got to be happy, blah, blah, blah. I'm saying this was not everyone, but the vast majority of people, even people just like sweeping the side of the street, said hello, smiled. And for me, that is something that we don't have over here in the UK and we don't have in the Western world. We are a bit like kind of looking at the pavement, bit like zombies. Not negative, not everyone's negative, but some people, like if you smile at them, they think you're a weirdo. And that's kind of the mindset that we've got in Western society. Over there, it's just like, hi, how are you doing? Are you having a good day? Wanting to get to know you, smiling, happy. And I think that is massive. That just goes a long way. I'd be interested to see like stats on mental health over in Bali and Indonesia to see what they're like. I haven't looked at that, but it'd be interesting to see the differences. That was one thing that I picked up on almost instantly, that happiness, smiling, helping, going back to what I said before, being grateful. Second thing I noticed is I didn't see many fat people or overweight people or obese people, however you want to label it. Most of the people that I saw were quite in shape, like quite slim, defined. Even the elderly, like guys that and women that probably looked like in the 80s, moved really well. And again, I can put that down to a few things. Probably their lifestyle, they're probably out and about more in the sun. There's a lot more manual labor over there. People farming, rice paddies, moving, lifting things, markets. Very outdoors based. When we went to the coast and went to the islands, they're obviously in and out of the water, they're fishing, they're on the move, just generally on the move. It's not a rocket science. If you move more, you get that vitamin D, you live that healthy lifestyle, it's going to help. So that was a big takeaway as well, is that generally people looked well and looked healthy. Don't get me wrong, I saw a few people that looked a bit like bent over and maybe in ill health, but on the whole I saw people that looked fit, healthy, well, and moved well as well. And that brings me on to their kind of diet as well and their nutrition. Again, this is a whole other podcast, we could talk about this over and over again, but everything there and everything that we ate like supremely well when we're over there. Sometimes when you go away on vacation, you have this tendency to like maybe want to eat crap or maybe go away from your normal habits and normal diet and normal nutrition plan. But we ate so well over there. I mean, we eat well when we're here in the UK anyway, me and my wife, Sarah, but over there we ate really well as well. And I noticed some changes in my body as well. I felt like I almost had more energy. My digestive system started to feel a little bit better as well, which is weird because usually when you go away, your digestive system goes a bit wonky for whatever reason. But yeah, I started to feel like really well. And I believe that's because everything that they have, or the vast majority of the stuff they have, is fresh. It's grown, it's picked, and it's eaten. Same with their meats and their fishes. It's all very fresh. You can tell that the meats haven't been kind of like tampered with. You can tell that it's not far like mass farmed. It's all kind of very rural and agricultural and just like from farm to plate, pretty much. So yeah, we had lots of fresh vegetables, lots of rice, lots of noodles, fish, fresh meats. It was awesome. And that's how you should eat. And that's what we could take away and what you guys listening in can take away from that kind of that Balinese diet is plenty of fresh stuff, fresh meats, fresh fruit and vegetables, and you're on to a winner. A lot of the time as well, I was feeling really full because it's not processed food. It's nutritious, whole food. Many days we had breakfast, skipped lunch, almost like that kind of fasting, and then at dinner in the evening, because we wasn't feeling like we needed to snack or have another meal, because the food's nutritious and it was filling us up. And that brings me on to my next point, which is vitamin D. There's a lot of people, particularly in the UK, that have vitamin D deficiency because they don't get enough sun. Over there, they get plenty of sun, very close to the equator. They have a wet season, a dry season. We got there just when it was the end of their wet season, and they get plenty of sun. I mean, it was hot when we was there, 30 degrees, sunshine, high humidity, but we got plenty of vitamin D on our bones and into our body. Sunshine as well. We know there's people that's walking around with SADS, seasonal affective disorder. Vitamin D helps. It helps your mood, helps your energy. Your skin's better. Everything's better when you're getting that sun on your bones. So I think that goes a long way as well, is getting that sun on your bones. And that's a good reason as well to go to warmer climates. If you do live in a colder climate, go to warmer places, get away, get some sun, because it's going to help just make you healthier. Get that sun on your body. And wherever you can, get out and get some natural light. Even if it's on a cloudy day and you're stuck in an office, just take half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, get out, get some light, natural light on your body, and less of the computer and phone light coming into you. The final thing, and the way I want to end this podcast, the final thing that really that Bali and this travel and this vacation showed me is reflection. It allowed me and my wife, Sarah, to get away and just to reflect. We are super busy, as you guys listening in to this are as well. We run the gym, Kinetic Fitness in Nottingham. We're there sometimes 50, 60 hours a week. We have a team that we look after of 5. We have members that we're servicing and helping to be healthier and be happier. So it's very full on. We do a lot of stuff, a lot of tasks on a daily basis. Plus I run this podcast, and plus I'm on Instagram trying to grow that. So there's many facets and faculties that we do, and we're very, very busy. But going away, taking some time out, switching off, going back to the connectedness, by the way, I had my phone in airplane mode the whole time I was there. I didn't look at a single email. I occasionally went onto Instagram and Facebook and WhatsApp when I had Wi-Fi connectivity, but not as much as when I was, or when I'm in the UK. Before I touch on reflection, let me backtrack and go back to this connectedness, because I've missed the point. I'm very sorry. I want to give it you now while it's in my mind. I'm a big tracker. I like tracking things. You may have listened to my podcast where I was talking about how to track and monitor your recovery. One thing I track is how much I use my phone, how many times I unlock it, and what apps I use. I use an app called Quality Time. Write that down, Quality Time. You can download it and it tracks how much you use stuff. Here's an interesting statistic. Whilst I was away, I used and unlocked my phone an average of 30 to 45 minutes per day whilst I was in Bali. Compared to when I was back home, my stats before I left to fly out to Asia, my average time on my phone was 3.5 to 4 hours per day. So I'd reduced it astronomically when I was away in Bali. Because, like I said, I switched off. I came away from that connectedness. I was enjoying the moment. Obviously, when you're on vacation, you're doing things as well. You're not so much in the rat race, so to speak. But yeah. But massive reduction, nearly like over 3 hours less using my phone and on apps and on Instagram and all that kind of stuff. Over 3 hours less on my phone. And what could you do with that time as well? People are always saying their biggest problem why they can't do things is time. Well, I've just created another 3 hours there by not using my phone as much. And you can do the same. Download quality time, check your usage, check how many hours you spend on Instagram, on the newspaper app that you have on your phone, on whatever, Sky Sports, I don't know. Check how many hours or minutes you're spending on each one, how many times you unlock your phone, and just work on reducing it. The great thing about quality time is you can lock yourself out of things. So you can actually set a timer. If you want to lock yourself out of Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, you can say, right, I want 2 hours lockout, and it will not let you access those apps. Handy, eh? So try and do that if you're addicted to your phone and you're on it too much and you're wasting time and you're mindlessly scrolling. Download that app, lock yourself out, and then use the time that you get back from not using your phone more effectively. Sidetrack there, but that was one point that I wanted to mention that I forgot to mention, but I've mentioned it. You get the idea. Done. Back to reflection. Yes, Bali taught me reflection, but I already knew to reflect, but it just reiterated it, re-highlighted it to me. If you go away, you don't have to go away. Just spend some time reflecting. You could do this on a weekly basis, monthly, quarterly, 6 months, whatever. Just have a bit of time where you reflect. What's going good in my life? What challenges do I have? What can I put in place, or what can I write down, or what can I set in motion to have a better life, to make my future better, to live out that life that I want, that I desire, to hit those goals, dreams, aspirations, to work on my vision? You get the idea. Reflection is massive. And I had a little bit of time where I just sat by the pool in one of the villas that we stayed in with my pen and pad and just reflected. And I actually wrote down some goals for the coming year. I also wrote down some habits that I want to stick and adhere to. Some that I was already doing, but maybe I might have been missing a day or doing them a little bit willy-nilly, and I wanted to say, these are habits that I want to focus and do each and every single day. So I wrote those down. And then just some kind of goals for different areas of my life as well. So personal, financial, the business, relationships, that kind of stuff. So look at different areas of your life, reflect on all of those different areas, and then start to set some goals, set some new habits. This, again, I can't stress to you guys listening how powerful this is. Reflect, write down on paper. Get some, that's me shaking a bit of paper. Get some paper, get a pen, and write down what you want to work on, or even just reflection. Just write it down. Just write down whatever comes into your head and start to reset and realign your goals and visions for when you've stopped reflecting, or when you come back from your break or your holiday or your vacation. And that has worked really well for me. I've only been back a few days now, and nearly a week. It'll be a week tomorrow I've been back, but I've already started to focus and implement on these things that I wrote down, on these things that I reflected on, and these new goals and habits and vision that I set for myself. I'm acting on them already. So if you don't know what they are, if you don't reflect and you don't write them down, how are you going to act on them? How are you going to do them? How are you going to implement them? You've got to reflect and you've got to write them down, so you can move forward in the way that you want to move forward. I hope that makes sense. Reflection is massive. So I've rattled on there nearly an hour, but I hope that this has helped you, and I hope that this has outlined how travel, how taking a break, how just switching off can have a huge impact on your wellness, on your life, on your overall well-being, just on all areas of your life. I think that travel and taking a break is massive. You've got to have relaxation and recuperation. You've got to have R&R. You've got to take that time out, especially if you're in a high powered job or you're stressed or you run a business. It's even more important to take a break. I know people that have ran businesses for 20, 30 years and they've not had a holiday in 7 or 8 years. And to me, that is just crazy. Like, you're going to get burnt out. I guarantee if that person that's been running a business for 20 years and they haven't had a holiday for 7 or 8 years, if they took just 2 weeks holiday, I bet their business would grow. I'm pretty 95% sure that would happen. But sometimes you get stuck. You get stuck in that rat race. You get stuck in doing the same things. You get stuck chasing that target or whatever it may be. And you forget to just take a break, to just breathe, to just switch off, just to go away, and just to have that reset button hit so that you can grow even more. That is it. I'm going to leave you guys with it. Listen to this, share it, tell your friends about it, like and subscribe to the podcast, follow me on Instagram, connect with me. I'm here to help you. If you listen to this, you enjoy it, you like what I'm sharing, and I'm not going to help everybody, and some people aren't going to like what I'm saying, but if you do resonate with this and you do like it and you need more help, get in touch with me. Hit me on the email, hit me on Instagram, whatever you want. Don't be frightened to contact me, because I will help you. I'm here to help you, and I want to help you more than anything. So if you are struggling with any areas of your wellness, with your health, with your nutrition, anything like that, or if you just want to take yourself to the next level, let me know and I can help you. Please, please tell your friends. Please, please write a review. And I look forward to helping you again next week and sharing more knowledge and wisdom and expertise on health, wellness, happiness, joyfulness, all of those areas that we talk about next week. Until then, stay blessed, stay strong, have a fantastic week, and I wish you well until I speak to you again. Peace and love.